Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
3, 2, 1.
Live from Los Angeles.
It's the PHP.
The Perez Hilton
Podcast.
With my man,
Chris Booker.
Chris Booker.
It's Booker, baby.
And the one and only world famous Perez.
Perez.
Be Perez Hilton.
Ready?
It's the PHP.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the PHP. That's my friend Perez. I'm Booker. How are you?
I'm great. I think I know what our episode today is going to be called.
Oh, yeah?
It's a good title. The Naked Episode.
All right, I like it.
We're going to be talking about a lot of nudity, from Britney Spears to Grey's Anatomy alum Jesse Williams to Hilary Duff. We're also going to be diving deep again into the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial, discussing the British royal family being messy, that prison break couple.
It's amazing.
Elon Musk riling people up. Plus, at the end of our show today, an interview with Adam Carolla. But first, how are you? How do you feel?
Good. I feel back to normal. I'm still a little tired. I think there's maybe a hangover of tiredness, but that's about it.
You're back, you know, sleeping with your girlfriend and all of that.
Yeah, I'm back in my bedroom, back on my mattress. God, I hate the spare bedroom mattress. It sucks. Shout out to Helix.
Well, thank you for Helix, actually, so much that they're back sponsoring the podcast this week.
They are?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Great. I didn't even know that or even mean to bring it up, but let me just say it right now since I brought it up. That mattress, I missed my mattress. My back hurts so much. It's unbelievable the difference between a good mattress and a just okay mattress, especially if you've been sleeping on a great mattress for so long. And, you know, being in the spare bedroom, I felt like I'm sleeping in a cup, like a concave situation. And my back, I just have this knot in my shoulder, and I could not wait to get back into the bedroom, into my bed, into my Helix mattress. If I could plead for them to send me another one for my spare bedroom, if I ever get another COVID or any other disease again, so I can at least have my guests have a great sleep experience as well. I can't stress to you guys enough how great this mattress is, and I love it. This is genuine. This isn't like a script. This is my love for that company. It's a great mattress.
Wow. And they will make sure that you get a great mattress just for you as well. You go to their website, click a few buttons to take a little quiz that will personalize your body type and preferences to the correct Helix sleep model for you. They have different models from soft, medium, and firm mattresses, and there's just so many options. And right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Perez. That's helixsleep.com/Perez to save $200. And the best part about Helix, it comes with a 10-year warranty, mm-hmm. and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it. So go to helix.com/Perez. All right. Thank you, Helix. Things have been good with me. We had a really busy weekend, from Mother's Day to my daughter's birthday. And I even took my kids to the movies. We went to go see Doctor Strange, which I loved, although it's been dividing people, mixed reaction. I loved it. And I didn't even watch WandaVision, the TV show. Did mm-hmm. you watch that one?
I didn't even know they were connected, so no.
That's the thing about the Marvel Universe. It's all connected.
Yeah, I don't know what any of it is. I'm so out of the loop.
I don't pay attention to a lot of, you know, the other things. Like, I haven't watched the Loki TV show either or whatever, but it made sense to me and I enjoyed it, so I would highly recommend it.
All right.
They showed the Top Gun 2 trailer.
Oh, you saw the trailer in the theater. I bet it even plays differently in the theater because it is meant to be shown on a big screen. Did it look cool?
Well, I'm so conflicted. No, I'm not really conflicted. I know what I'm going to do, I think. But I like to be fair. The Top Gun 2 movie has been getting crazy good buzz. Like, mm-hmm. they're even talking already potential Oscars for this. But I just cannot bring myself to watch it, because I know that by supporting it and supporting Tom Cruise, I'm supporting the Church of Scientology.
Oh, God, please give me a break.
I feel very strongly about that.
What do you care what someone prays to?
I think that this is an evil church doing
okay,
evil things.
Okay, so I'm Catholic. Do you think that the Catholic Church has done evil things to society?
I think Scientology is
I think Catholic
evil.
Has done a lot of things to children along the years. I think it's all public knowledge what has happened. So are you going to stop supporting all Catholic actors?
It depends. A lot of do you get you probably don't give your money to the Catholic Church.
If I was to go to church the once a year when I go see my mom and she makes me go to church, when the little till comes down the deal, I'll drop a couple bucks at it. But no, I'm not an active supporter of my local Catholic church. No.
I probably wouldn't go see a Mark Wahlberg Catholic movie. No.
He just
came out with one, by the way.
Did he?
Yeah. Did I go see that? No.
It's just because you didn't want to see it. Go see Top Gun. Don't listen to him. He's nuts.
It was just announced that Jennifer Grey is returning to her most iconic film role, and she will be starring in a Dirty Dancing sequel, which obviously will not be starring Patrick Swayze, yeah. Unless they pull like a Carrie Fisher and they do like CGI or something like that. It worked in Star Wars with Carrie Fisher.
Patrick Swayze aside, that movie was so campy, and it was of a time, of a last almost moment in time. Like when that came out, it was almost like the last moment of that time or those sort of places or that theme or greaser 70s guys, whatever. Like, you know, it's going to have to be turned on its ear, and it's going to have a whole different look and feel. And it's such a cool piece of nostalgia, that movie.
The chances of it being good are like slim to none. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Jennifer Grey, her ex, Johnny Depp, had a bit of a break this week because there's no court, but proceedings will resume next week. However, after our show last week, it was Amber Heard's time to take the stand, and I became one of those people. I literally watched 2 days worth of entire testimony from Amber Heard.
Yeah.
And I wanted to hear, I obviously paid attention to what Johnny Depp said when it was his turn, but I didn't watch a week worth of Johnny Depp, okay?
Right.
He was on the stand for a long time. But because people feel so strongly about Amber Heard, and it feels like the tide is in his favor, I really wanted to hear from her. And this is my somewhat controversial take, or maybe not. I will reiterate what I've said in the past, which is the only two people that truly know what happened are Amber Heard and Johnny Depp.
Well, let me take that a step further. And there were substances involved in both situations, so they truly may not even know what really happened and what went down. It's skewed. That's why I keep harping on this is such a waste of everyone's time, because this is just two people that are just slinging mud to throw mud, and they put it on TV for whatever reason and online for you to watch, I guess. But this is wild. This is what we're wasting courtroom time with.
It was also insane, the amounts of people watching live.
Mm.
All the cable news networks were showing it. And on YouTube, every single network also had a live stream on YouTube. And when I first went to type in Amber Heard trial, there were like 10 different live streams that popped up. And each one had like over 100,000 viewers or something like that. Like, it was wild. Anyways, people were analyzing and overanalyzing her testimony, and conspiracy theories were being thrown around, like, oh, did she just do a bump of cocaine on the stand?
That was so stupid. Yeah.
I know. Are you an idiot? Do you really
people are that dumb.
Yeah.
Do you really think you could do cocaine that way? Do you think that's come on. That was a stupid thing that went around.
So dumb. But that's one of many. Another one was that she was staging photos, like pausing to make sure that she can get her picture taken.
Right. I saw that as well.
So much stupidity. Call me naive. Call me gullible. Call me dumb. I can only put myself in that situation, right? If I'm Amber Heard,
mm-hmm.
And if what I claimed happened is not true, I do not know how I could sit on the witness stand and straight up lie and make up all of these details for 2 days. I would trip up. I would get caught in my lies. I could not do it. So just by putting myself in her situation, I am inclined to believe that she is telling the truth. She gave so many details. I could not lie for 2 days straight on the stand. And that's what she did. Testify for 2 days straight. Give some traumatizing testimony about even being raped by an alcohol bottle that Johnny Depp stuck inside her and...
allegedly.
That's what she testified. I'm going to say I believe her. I also believe that she hit him as well. And we have that evidence that we heard her say she hit him and all of that. But I also believe her. I believe both could be true. They probably both hit each other. They were both abusing drugs and abusing each other. And it was just all awful for me to sit through 2 days of that. Oh my God. I have one last thought that we'll move on, but do you have any thoughts?
I've said my thoughts. I don't believe either one of them. This is a waste of time. I'm more interested in what those people in that jury box, how they're going to say how much he should get or how they're going to dice this up, or if they just go, you both are fucking crazy and you've wasted months of our time. You get nothing. Both of you carry on with your lives.
I'm going to predict, I think pretty accurately, the outcome of this trial.
Mm-hmm.
800-721-1185. A reminder, that's our number if you want to call. Johnny Depp is going to lose. Here's why. He's not on trial, or she's not on trial, for any violent charges. This is a defamation case. And I know a lot about defamation.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to win a defamation case for many reasons. One, you have to actually prove that this damaged his career, which is difficult because Johnny Depp, point could be made that he already damaged his career by his behavior on the set of the Pirates movies even before all of this.
These people are not industry people. They have no idea. They're hardly qualified to know what damage has been done to a Hollywood star. This isn't like, some plumbing situation in your bathroom where a plumber could come in and say, well, you know, the main was broken and that wasn't the case before the person got here. This is how much that cost. This is a very arbitrary thing to be arguing over, just to your point.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Plus, finally, they also have to prove not just, you know, that his career suffered, but his reputation suffered. And I don't think Johnny Depp had a pristine, stellar reputation before all of this. My opinion.
Yeah.
You may all disagree with me.
Well, Johnny Depp sycophants may disagree with you, but I don't.
All right. In other news, this riveting story of the prison break couple, the jailbird lovebirds, Vicky and Casey White.
Not related.
Not related, correct. But when they caught him, he did call her his wife. They were on this high-speed chase. She took her own life, according to him, after they were rammed by a police vehicle and they fell into a ditch. I mean, I guess I could understand if you are destitute or desperate, you'll do desperate things. And when they got to this town in Indiana, Evansville, they got this local guy. They paid him several hundred dollars. And it was the local guy who checked into the motel under his name. That's mm-hmm. how they were able to stay there for so long. I mean, it's just wild. She probably was the mastermind of this all and thought so much of it through, but she didn't really think super through in the long term.
I don't think they thought anything out other than get out. I don't think they planned what they should have done once out, because how many miles away were they
not
from
that
the
far away.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. You're gonna get busted. You gotta get away. You gotta have a plan. But they didn't.
They didn't. And one of the other things that is bizarre to me, I've seen so many photos and videos of this guy now, Casey White, and he is just 38 years old. I could have sworn he was in his 50s.
Oh, really?
He's just 38 years old. She was 61, and I don't know. I mean, we won't get answers, unfortunately, because she's dead. But it's wild that she was set to receive the Employee of the Year award this year.
Yeah, supposedly she was really great at her job and revered in this prison system. And she sold her house. She got like $90,000+
She sold
house.
It under market value, by the way. So yeah. She was in a rush to sell.
To get rid of the house.
And to get cash.
To go on the run with this guy. There's a movie with Benicio del Toro, and she's in the new Severance show I'm watching. Patricia Arquette, Escape from, what is it, Diorama, or whatever the name of that prison was. But it's essentially the plot of this. People are like, they're going to make a movie out of this, and John Krasinski's going to be in it, and Amy Schumer could play her. Or
that would be great casting. Amy Schumer, I like that.
That was my pick. A lot of people online said John Krasinski, but it's already been done. I mean, it literally is almost the same plot of that movie. I enjoyed that movie. So if you want to see something like it, watch that movie. It's well done.
I'm thankful for that story because Johnny Depp and Amber Heard went on vacation, and that story gave us...
That became the story this past week.
Yeah. So there's that. It riveted people. It riveted people almost the same way that Jesse Williams' nude did. And I will get to that in a second. But first, sleep is an important part of a healthy body and mind, and so is what you eat. And Belly Welly, we thank them so much for being a sponsor again and for helping our listeners and viewers be healthier. Thank you to everybody that's bought some Belly Welly. They are the yummiest probiotic bars. It is filled with all of these probiotics. It is gluten-free. It's vegan. It is filled with fiber. It is delicious. Mm-hmm. It's soft bake. They have wonderful flavors like cinnamon swirl, birthday cake, blueberry muffin, fudge brownie, lemon white chocolate, and more. If you have a sensitive stomach, if you're just trying to be healthier, then Belly Welly is for you. Go to bellywelly.com and use code PEREZ 30 to unlock a 30% discount. That's BELLIWELLI.com and use code Perez 30. So thank you to Belly Welly.
Hey, Belly Welly, send me some Belly Welly. I mean, I got someone in this house that could use that all day long, for sure.
All right. I mentioned Jesse Williams. Let's talk about it. A reminder, if you don't watch Grey's Anatomy, he was on that show for a long time. He is the hottest dude. And he's currently starring on Broadway in a play called Take Me Out. And they have a shower scene. It's about these gay, closeted people in baseball back in the day. And there's a few cast members that get naked during this shower scene. Mm-hmm. And it's on Broadway, as I mentioned. So, you know, that's not some rinky-dink little theater somewhere.
It's not some off-Broadway production.
Exactly. They have the resources to ensure that because there's this intimate scene on stage, all of the theater goers are required to use one of those Dave Chappelle pouches, and they have their phones locked in a device.
Right.
So that you can't use your phone during the performance.
And everybody brings two phones. That's just the new thing to do.
That's the thing. People take two phones, right? So this one theater goer took video of Jesse Williams, uploaded it somehow. I'm always so fascinated by... I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but part of me does question if somebody on Jesse Williams' team or camp or him...
This is great for business. First of all, I have never heard his name before, number one. Number two, I didn't know about this play on Broadway, and it's about baseball, and it sounds like a really interesting play, and I'd like to see this. This is a win all day long. Guy doesn't mind being naked because he took the part and is naked every single night.
Well, yes, but it's naked with the... understanding that it's in this theater and it won't leave this theater.
Okay, but still, you're in a room naked with people looking at you. You can't be that upset about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like you signed up to do a... I mean, you didn't sign up to have it blast all over the internet, but then again, it's 2022. You know it's going to be blast all over the internet. There's no such thing as privacy at a show. It's called show for a reason. People, you show your things. He did. He agreed to it.
I mean, that was sort of his response after it went viral. He was
He didn't care.
He was on Watch What Happens Live, and he was asked about it last night. And he said, it's a body. And it's no big, and I'm trying to not make it a big deal, he said. But right. The theater community is very upset. The theater released a statement. Actors Equity released a statement saying it's a violation of consent and trust and blah, 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 blah. And it's bizarre because I think I've said this before and I've observed this. There definitely is a double. Well, first of all, everybody's a fucking hypocrite, one, mm-hmm. because everybody was looking for this video and for the photos, okay? Mm-hmm. That's one point. The second point is there definitely is a double standard where women will thirst over Jesse Williams nude and seek it out.
Right.
But if it would have been a female actress in
and
that
if I'm looking for it and I'm talking about it, I'm a creep all of a sudden.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, but I don't fucking care. I'm a creep. I mean, if there's a naked picture out there floating around, I'm going to look at it. I can't help myself. Call me creepy. But it is a very valid and good point, and I'm glad you brought it up because it is a double standard and it is very sexist, if you will.
Yeah, so there is that. And speaking of hypocrisy, though, women would say, oh, that's awful that actress on that in that production had her consent taken away and was violated like that. But then a lot of those women also will go look at the video or the photo of the woman.
Right. Everyone's okay? A fucking hypocrite. You're right.
So anyways, there is
that. We just call it how we see it.
Speaking of nudity, we're in the nudity segment right now. I don't know why it's such a big deal. Like, she's literally been trending for days. Britney Spears doing what she's been doing for the longest time, posting naked photos of herself on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it's triggered people. Like, they're so upset, even these so-called fans.
Why this set has caught traction versus the other sets that she's put out, I don't understand. But I know what you're saying, because there seems to be more heat around this latest batch.
I think one of the reasons that this time it's become a bigger deal is because she did it like three times. She basically uploaded identical photos right. three that separate times. I'm like, I get it, but you could have done your naked beach photos, the naked pool photos, the naked bed photos.
Change
the
fruit. Maybe put a banana between your legs. Yeah, do something different.
It was basically the same photos. They weren't, but they were basically the same pictures uploaded three separate times. And then people were like, ooh, she's not well. Oh, I understand why the conservatorship was in place. And like all of those comments. But people don't criticize Kim Kardashian the same way when she posts her naked photos. I think the reason is that, but we should be celebrating it, I think. I think we should celebrate this because Britney feels good about herself, feels in control of her life and her body, and is doing whatever the hell she wants. But I think people are used to Kim Kardashian, and they're used to fake, they're used to Photoshop, they're used to seeing, even when the celebrities do go naked, it's still Photoshopped and fake and not real and glamorous and all of this. So when Britney does it, and Britney looks real and normal, it's triggered this response out of predominantly women.
I think it has a lot to do with Britney comes from innocence, meaning when people were Britney fans, they were kids and she was a kid and they grew up together with her. And I think some of those fans have grown out of maybe even enjoying things like that. They're like, this is like, come on, we've all grown up now. Why hasn't she? And I think there's some sort of innocence robbed thing, if I'm being, you know, a psychologist about this. But I think there's some of that to it. Kim Kardashian has been thirsty to show everything and put out a sex tape and whatever. That's her thing. You know what I mean? And nothing against her for doing it. But thank you. I love watching sex tapes. But Britney isn't that to a lot of fans. She's very special to a lot of people, and she always will be for their entire life, because it puts them back at a certain age, and I don't think they enjoy watching it, I'll say, unravel the way that it has.
And people keep bringing up her teenage sons and this and that. I'm like, as I've said before, her sons are used to that's just mom being normal.
Right.
Leave her sons out of it.
They've never experienced a normal, everyday being. Their mother has always been Britney Spears. Their life isn't comparable to anything we can imagine. From birth, they were Britney Spears' kids. So to Perez's point, you can't compare your kids, your life with Britney Spears' kids and their life. It is a different experience.
But I wish her well, and she's pregnant and happy and apparently getting married this summer is the speculation, and is going to have a very busy 2022. She also revealed that her memoir is going to be released at the end of this year. So whether you like it or not, Britney's not going to have a quiet second half of the year.
Well, I'm wondering what that looks like. Because to me, if it's her, quote, writing it, it's going to be a book chock full of non sequiturs and bad spelling. It should be that. I would love to see that. That's the book I want to see. I don't want to see some editor cleaning it up and telling their own fucking stories. I want to see exactly what she would write. That would be interesting to me. Otherwise, I couldn't care less.
She's not going
to
write it herself.
I know, but she should.
We wish you well, Brittany. I wish you happiness, and I wish you a future like that. Well, you can't even compare the two, but I mean, I guess you can. They're both former Disney child stars, from Britney Spears to Hilary Duff. I wonder what it was about Hilary Duff that she managed to avoid the pitfalls of former child stardom. She never was arrested or went to rehab that we know of, or just fell apart like so many other former child stars do. She kept it together and now is a mother of three, mm-hmm. and on a successful TV show, was on another successful TV show. She went from Younger to How I Met Your Father now, and is also on the cover of Women's Health magazine, totally naked.
Yes, I saw both of those shots. Very nice.
And people were just celebrating that and her, and not anywhere similar to the response that Britney was getting. But, you know, Hilary Duff is in her 30s and has young children. And why are you getting naked, Hilary? You don't need to do that.
It's tastefully done in a magazine, Perez.
But still, I find, once again, a lot of hypocrisy.
I can't disagree with you. I can't.
It was tastefully done, and she did look amazing. And
yeah, the cover shot, her butt looks amazing.
But no, there was a better one. No. Did you not see the one where her ass is fully out?
I saw two pictures.
There's one where she's like in a pool or a bathtub or something.
Well, she's leaning forward and her boobs are smushed against something. I saw that picture. Okay. And then there's one where she's just sort of standing and I can see the curvature of her ass, which is nice.
But there's another one where she's in either a pool or a tub. And
yeah. Well, I'll have to investigate this.
You see her
full... What magazine is this again?
Women's Health. You see her full...
Yeah, I don't read that so often, but I'm going to now.
You see her full ass. She looked amazing. She looked amazing.
I met her not too long ago. She came into the top 40 station I worked at, and it was cool. She was nice. I knew her a little bit back in the day, her and her sister. I knew her sister a little more. She wasn't quite as famous and was easy to interview, and they were a lot of fun hanging out with the two Duffs. I think I hung out with them one night at what's the festival in Park City?
Sundance.
Sundance, yes. Met them there. But they were sweet. They were nice.
Yeah, I love both of them. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. And she gave really sensible advice in the video that I watched, talking about her relationship with food and wellness and fitness. She's like, I'm good 70% of the time, and then 30% of the time, I live my life. Mm. So... you know, that's like moderation.
Balance.
It's really hard for a lot of people like me. When you can really master moderation, you are successful. All right, we're going to talk about the British royal family and Adele. But first, Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save money on insurance? Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages, plus add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save. Oh my God, I just was triggered. I need to remind people, this show, we're not on Patreon. We're not asking for your money. It's free to watch.
Yeah, we ask you to support our clients. If you're thinking about buying a mattress, check out Helix. You don't even have to buy. Please just check the stuff out. That's all we ask.
So many people were complaining about my interview with Margaret Cho last week because her dog was barking throughout the interview. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I wasn't going to tell her, can you put your dog in the other room or whatever?
I would have. I would have said, your dog is distracting. Hey, why don't you go take care of that and come back to me? Because a lot of people complain.
Well, then don't not about watch
you.
Or listen.
It wasn't about you. It was about her professionalism. If you're going to give somebody your time, please do it in a professional way. And she did not, apparently.
Well, that's the thing. You know, it's like, I appreciate the time of all of these people. I didn't want to be like, Anyways.
There's a polite way to do that. You know, if you're like, hey, this audio is not going to work. Let's get back together in a couple of minutes once you get your dog calmed down.
Her publicist was watching. I was hoping that he would like jump in and be like, hey, Margaret, maybe you can move your dog to another room. But whatever. If you don't like the interviews, don't watch them. If you're bothered by something, do you have to complain? Like...
Yes, you do. And I like when people complain, and please do. 800-721-1185.
All right.
It's the joy of my life, your calls.
Let's talk about Adele. She just had a birthday recently. Happy 34th, Adele. Getting old. Actually, she's still so young. 34. Oh, my God. However, after her birthday, there were a lot of rumors that she and her boyfriend, NBA, or just agent, I think he might not be exclusively a basketball agent, sports agent Rich Paul, broke up because they did not celebrate her birthday together. Mm-hmm. He was in Miami attending some event, and she was in Los Angeles. Hmm. And they've also not been photographed or spotted at all in months since February. However, according to the very latest reports, they are still together. And in fact, this weekend, they went up to Napa to go celebrate her birthday. So there's that. Speaking of British people, the Queen is celebrating her Platinum Jubilee, meaning a big weeks, months long celebration of her 70 years as the reigning monarch, the longest in British history. And every June, they have the celebration of her birthday, which is so bizarre. I mean, I guess I understand it. Her birthday, I believe, is in April, but they celebrate it in June. Because the weather is better in the UK in June.
When you have that much power, you can change your birthday.
Yeah, they celebrate her birthday in June for the trooping of the guards or whatever the hell it's called, the trooping ceremony.
Okay.
And usually, sure. As part of that, the royal family all steps out into the balcony and they all wave at their subjects.
Subjects.
Yes.
I love that word.
It was announced that Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are going to attend. However, a decision was made to ban them from being on the balcony. Let me read to you the statement that was released by Buckingham Palace. They said, quote, after careful consideration, the Queen has decided this year's traditional trooping the color balcony appearance on Thursday, the 2nd of June, will be limited to Her Majesty and those members of the royal family who are currently undertaking official public duties on behalf of the Queen.
It's funny, like, I keep going back and forth. Who's more petty? It's hard to tell, because what the fuck?
That like, is so petty.
My God. I think it's all they know. I think it's all they have, this nonstop back and forth of pettiness.
Especially what's so petty about it is that he still is her grandson, right?
That's the thing.
And I can understand Prince Andrew not being there because he's embroiled in like real ugliness.
Yeah.
But he's her grandson, and she is having some extended family members on the balcony, like Princess Alexandra, the Duke of Kent, and the Duke and the Duchess of Gloucester.
Bunch of nobodies, right. Just let them up there.
They're going to be in the balcony, and you're not going to have Harry and Meghan in the balcony.
They're serving royals, Perez.
But that's like the Queen's cousins. It's not her grandchild. They're still celebrating her life.
There's that, yes. And there is also the side of it. This is what they asked for. They asked to not be part of the royal family. And I can see both sides of it. But releasing a statement about it just reeks of pettiness. That's all.
Well, it's the British royal family. You know what they do. From the UK to the US, Elon Musk this week said in a virtual conference that he will reverse Donald Trump's ban from Twitter. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people felt very strongly about that. I want him back on Twitter just because that will help my case to get back on TikTok.
You want to be back on TikTok?
Yes. I feel like I need to be. That's where people are.
Okay.
And I'm not. TikTok, if you're watching, enough time has passed. Donald Trump is getting back on Twitter.
But Donald Trump has said he's not going back on Twitter, which is bullshit.
Of course he's going to be back.
He's totally going to be back. He can't resist breaking greatest retweet records of all time. I am now number one. Twitter was floundering without me. I'm the greatest Twitterer ever. Dickhead.
Do you think he should be allowed back on Twitter?
I don't care. I never followed him in the first place. It's to each his own. I'll always understand the quandary. Everyone, yes, goes on Twitter and lies and says this and that. But he was the president lying on Twitter. And you can like him, dislike him, I don't care. But he's the president and he presented things as factual when they were in fact not true. So I understand the quandary that Twitter was in, but he's no longer the president. So I say, yes, of course, let him back on Twitter. He has no official, he's just an ex-president at this point. He's just another guy
talking
out there
head.
Screaming into the wind like millions of other people do every day on Twitter. So I say yes, let him back on.
He hasn't been doing much since he left the White House, to be honest.
I think he has. He's just not getting the coverage that he wants. But he's got that new platform, whatever the fuck that is, which
Truth
is never
going to... Social.
Yeah.
Flop.
Okay. Flop.
Who actually is using that?
Okay, I read yesterday that I forget which artist just did like an exclusive deal with Tidal. And then I said to myself, that's still a thing? Like, I don't know a soul that has Tidal. So I don't know. There's an audience for everything, I guess. Maybe you don't need a big one. Seems odd to me.
In more wacky news, actor and director and producer Fred Savage has been fired from ABC's The Wonder Years reboot for inappropriate behavior. And more information has come out. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to predict what you're going to say. So the inappropriate behavior, from what I've read thus far, was nothing sexual related. It was just that he was prone to being rude and screaming. He was a screamer on set a lot. He snapped at a lot of people. Mm-hmm. One of the people said it's because he overshot. Meaning he did way too many takes, so the days were very long, people were worked very thin, super tired, including himself. So he would snap and scream at people and all this stuff. You would likely say, grow a thick skin and deal with it.
To who?
To the people that he screamed at.
This is a reboot. This is a new show. Listen, if you're going to behave that way and you're a star of a show and you're kind of keeping the show going, that's one thing. This is a brand new thing. And if you pissed off enough people in the past with your behavior and you don't get a gig because of that behavior, I'm not going to cry you a river. So no, I'm not going to say that. Thick skin has to do with comments about this and that. And oh, I'm so triggered. And I'm not triggered by this story. And I don't think people would be. This is a goofy television show, right? Like a series. Or something.
All right. Well, good. Yeah. I think the times have changed and you need to act accordingly.
Yeah. When you behave a certain way at work, you can't be shocked when it comes back around to bite you in the ass, because it will. We've seen it time and time again. I can list 50 actors that, you know, we're talking about Grey's Anatomy. What's her face? Like, people said she was so hard to work with and she had a movie career. What was her name? The blonde?
Oh, Katherine Hagel.
Right. She was, you know, supposedly terrible on set. And there was another guy from Grey's Anatomy that with the Washington guy, Isaiah, that show really breeded bad behavior, I guess. But, you know, it happens a lot of times where, hey, you are the show and people have to deal with it at times. But when it comes back around again, people will say, I have a memory and I can remember what it was like. And I now have the opportunity to say, I'm not going to go work for that, or I remember that behavior. So just don't be surprised if your previous behavior comes back to bite you in the ass.
And this old ass actor, nothing wrong with being old. I take that back. I apologize for saying old ass.
I wasn't triggered. Continue, please.
But maybe I emphasize old ass, not necessarily.
No, it just means he's been around for a while.
But also, not necessarily his age, but his thinking, right? This old ass actor, Frank Langella, was fired from this Netflix show. And after he was fired, he wrote this op-ed blaming cancel culture for being fired. But actually, he was fired because they now have intimacy coordinators when you're doing intimate moments on a film or TV set. And he ignored what the intimacy coordinator said and complained about it and all this stuff. So I don't think you were fired because of cancel culture, right, by the way. All right. Left the Kardashians for the end of the show. Blac Chyna's mother has started a GoFundMe to help pay for the Kardashian lawsuit appeal. Thus far, the goal is $400,000 and they've raised less than 1,000, I think. So good luck to them. Also, Blac Chyna is under investigation for battery after allegedly kicking a woman in the stomach while out partying at a bar in Los Angeles. Oops.
It
also
happens.
In Kardashian world, Kanye West, remember a couple of months ago, he made a huge deal about not being invited to his daughter's birthday party?
Yes.
Well, his son, Sam, just had a birthday party in Los Angeles, and Kanye was in Japan. Nowhere to be seen. Also, we just saw on the Kardashians on Hulu show that Courtney and Travis got engaged. But while Travis Barker's children were there, Courtney Kardashian's children were not there, and her kids were not happy about that. The reason given for not having Courtney's children at the engagement celebration and the day that they got engaged in Santa Barbara was they didn't want to have to lie to Scott Disick about why they were there. Why not just say, we just are going away on a beach getaway?
This is a dumb TV plot line. That's what this is.
Maybe that's it. All right. Finally, let's end things with two positive moments. First, Harry Styles has announced his new tour in the United States, and he's touring in a very different way. He's basically setting up mini residencies in exactly. large cities. He's doing 10 shows in Los Angeles, 10 shows in New York City, 5 shows in Chicago, 5 shows in Austin, which is great for him. He can just stay put in one place. But if you have fans with less money,
or if you live in Oklahoma,
well, exactly, you have to spend all that more money to go see
him. You can't go to your nearest city, whatever, to see a show. It kind of sucks.
And he will likely sell out all of these shows.
Oh, God, every single one of them, please.
He could probably have done a stadium tour, and he didn't. He did an arena tour. Internationally, he's doing stadiums, which I saw, so there's that. And finally, congratulations to Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra. After 100 days in the NICU, their daughter is finally home, and they got to celebrate Mother's Day with their baby, Malti. She was born super prematurely. Very happy about that. If you are a smoker or know somebody that does smoke and you want to quit or help them to quit, then Fume is for you. Fume is a natural way to quit cigarettes. It's safer than so many of the other ways that people quit smoking. It has no nicotine, no smoke, and no vape. Shout out to the amazing Canadians that created Fume. It is made of 100% Canadian maples and uses cores infused with plant oils studied to curb cravings. They've got flavors like peppermint and conker with minty notes to simulate menthol cigarettes and other flavors. There are no harmful chemicals, no artificial flavors, and absolutely no nicotine. Check out Fume right now to save. Just go to breathefume.com/Perez and use promo code Perez to get 10% off your entire order. That's 10% off your entire order when you head to breathefume.com/Perez and use code Perez. All right, let us take some calls. And after calls, my interview with Adam Carolla.
Hi, Perez. Hi, Booker. This is Geraldine. By the way, Perez, I got my True 10 cooling gel, and I love it very much. I just wanted to chime in on Britney Spears' nude pics on Instagram. I don't have a problem that she wanted to pose nude. What's disappointing to me is that I don't think she knows that she's Britney Spears and the level she is at. She should have done, like, a professional photo shoot with, like, hair, makeup, you know, set design, costume design.
I said that,
something
yeah.
like, you know, yeah, you would see in a Playboy that. Spread. She is an icon. And it just sucks that she's taken pics, like, looks like she's a stripper. And, you know, the types of pics a peasant like me would send to my boyfriend. So that's the only thing I have to say about that. Unfortunately, the cat is out of the bag. It's a little bit too late.
Yeah, I said that. It's like the expectations, but she doesn't care. And I love that. She's doing whatever the hell she wants.
Perez and Booker, it's Doug Rohr here from Florida. I just want to quickly call and let you guys know that Booker was spot on with the new Lizzo single. It has blown up, and I've been stalking this for a while now. So it's number one on iTunes. It's number 19 on the Billboard Hot 100 this week. And it's also up to 15 on the Spotify global chart with over 3 million streams in one day.
I hear chart numbers in my head just starts to, my eyes roll to the back of my head.
People do care. I care. It had a huge bounce. Like it debuted at number 50 on the Billboard Hot 100. Then it dropped from number 50 to somewhere in the 60s.
Yeah.
And then it went from 60 to this week, number 19 on the Hot 100.
Yeah.
Thanks to it being trending on TikTok.
I don't know if that really, I think it's just it's a hit song. I've never seen the TikTok thing once, but I can just tell you, I heard the song and said, that sounds like a hit song.
She credits TikTok for the success. She okay. said that on an Instagram that I saw.
Doesn't make her right.
Hi, this is Sarah from California. I'm calling to talk about Chris's temper tantrum over the Met.
I think over the Met Gala.
About Roe versus Wade. It was after the red carpet, and it's a non-televised event. So to suggest that, like, celebrities should have, quote-unquote, marched outside to the microphones is absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, really?
And I just have to compare it to, like, imagine if it was the Super Bowl and social justice warriors got mad over...
I don't know what she's talking about, but I'm going to make a point, and I'll let it go from here. Out of the three of us, and let's just pretend it's the three of us at the moment, have you been to the Met Gala, Perez?
No.
Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and assume that she hasn't been to the Met Gala before, but out of the three of us, guess who's been to the Met Gala? This fucking guy.
You've been to the Met Gala?
I covered it. Of course, I worked for Entertainment Tonight.
All right.
And I went inside just because I was invited to go inside. Number one, I've been to the Met Gala. To say that there are no cameras outside and this happened after the red carpet, that is an uninformed thing. At the Met Gala every year, and Perez, I'll use you as my backup, is there always a celebrity that shows up absolutely the latest? And I'll just ask you right now, top of mind, who is the one over the past 5 years that she's coming, she's doing press, and shows up about an hour.
9 p.m.
Yeah, when it's over.
3 hours late. Rihanna.
Rihanna, exactly. So as a reporter and as a show, your ass is there, parked. and waiting with a litany of other camera people and press and people dying to take your pictures on the way in and out. So there are indeed cameras and microphones outside. Now, this is just coming from a person that, I don't know, was one of those assholes standing out there waiting for whatever celebrity to come by. So I might know a thing or two about this one, and I'm sorry, you are indeed wrong. And I still believe and stand by what I said. These nitwits should have come out and spoke up because they had the opportunity. There were cameras. There were microphones. Trust me. So thank you for your call. You are dead wrong.
Hi, guys. This is Julia from Northern Virginia. Can someone just, someone needs to tell Margaret Cho that the next time she's on a podcast, she needs to keep her dog otherwise engaged. Mm-hmm. I mean, that, come on. And I really don't think I'm the type of person to complain about something like that, but that, I couldn't even focus. It was ridiculous. My God, just in a couple barks, I can understand, but her dog was screaming throughout the entire thing.
All right. She makes a good point. She would not go on Letterman with her dog and let that fucking dog bark while Dave was interviewing somebody. I think you deserve the respect as the interviewer from your subject. You're there to promote them. If they can't do the whole interview without their dog barking, don't do the interview.
I just wanted to say that was the most polite complaint I've ever heard.
Yeah, the person that complained about me, bitchy as hell. That was fucking polite as could be. Why couldn't that person call and say, hey, do you have any knowledge on this? Instead of just spouting some bullshit that they think, sorry, but I actually have covered the Met Gala before. I know how it works. So there you go.
All right. Well, now we get to chat with a true Renaissance man, Adam Carolla. He does it all. He's got like 20 podcasts. He's real busy, and he's newly single and newly dating.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, and we talk about that. We also talk about he's maybe probably going to leave and move from Los Angeles, talk about where he might head to and all of that. So right now, enjoy my chat with Adam Carolla. First of all, I think it was maybe 13 or 14 years ago, I was doing your CBS radio show back on Wilshire. And I want to thank you for that because, you know, not many people knew me way back when. Do you actually keep in touch with producer Angie? I think that's her name.
I haven't talked to Angie in a while, although I have great affection for her. And she actually produced my podcast, I think, for a run in the early days. She came with me over here, and I don't know where she ended up. I mean, I think she got married or was married, maybe had kids. I'm not sure, but I don't know, probably working in terrestrial radio somewhere.
I think I heard a rumor she was at a country station.
Makes sense. Yeah, radio people just sort of bounce from one format to the next.
Did you start your career in radio or in comedy? What came first?
Well, I did a lot of sketch comedy, improvisational comedy, a little bit of stand-up comedy. Mainly my background was in sketch, Acme Theater, Groundlings Theater. I had a pretty extensive background in that form of comedy. And a little bit of stand-up, just kind of open mics and stuff like that. A little bit of writing, not much. I really didn't have a career before radio. I never got paid to do comedy ostensibly.
But you do it in it. Well, in addition to your podcast, which you are like an OG in the podcasting space, you do comedy now.
Yeah, I do stand-up and stand-up specials and, you know, make documentaries that aren't necessarily comedic.
Tour, you go on the road.
Tour, yeah, go on the road, write books, you know, just whatever keeps the lights on.
You actually wrote a book a year and a half or 2 years ago about like the state of comedy or maybe even bigger than that, the state of culture that we're at right now. How would you describe things 2 years later? Has it gotten any better since you wrote your book, or is it just as bad or worse?
I think that the people that were heading in the wrong direction are probably further down the road of the wrong direction. But then
who's in the wrong direction? Comedians or the public?
Well, I think it's a kind of case by case. You know, I don't know if you can just go the public, you know, there's a, you know, they just got rid of the mask mandates on flights. Half the people are cheering. The other half are booing. To me, the ones that are booing have gone further down the wrong road. But, you know, you couldn't really just go comedians. I mean, comedians in general are pussies and they want to be liked and they went all in on whatever, whichever ways the cultural winds were blowing. Most of them, a handful of guys kind of pushed back, but for the most part, it's kind of a big popularity contest and we're all just in high school. And also there's a financial part of it. Like how vocal do you want to be as a performer or a comedian about COVID and COVID regulations, and how hard do you want to push back against that if you're trying to set up your next Netflix deal?
Well, if you're Dave Chappelle, you can risk saying truly whatever you think because you're like the A-list of comedy. If you're a C-lister comedian, then I would imagine that you might be a little bit more cautious with what you're saying because you might be afraid of getting canceled or whatever it might be. There's a trend that I personally am not a fan of, but I wonder what you think. In the comedy world, if you go see, depending on the venue or, you know, if it's like a really big comedian, if you go see them do stand-up nowadays, they make you put your phone in one of those pouches so you can't use your phone during the show. It doesn't make sense to me because if people share a joke on social media, I'll watch the joke, but I'm not going to watch somebody's entire special on Instagram. If I like that joke or a second joke, I'm going to go see them do their stand-up show. I think it would only help. What do you think?
I agree with you. I've never been one of those guys, but comedians get really paranoid / protective over burning material. You know, they feel like, once you do, so the way comedians work is they go, I spent 3 years trying to develop this 1 hour special, and then I did the 1 hour special, and now I burned all that material. I can't use that material anymore because it aired already. Now, maybe nobody cares, but the point is that's how they look at it. So if somebody films them doing a joke, like let's say, for instance, a lot of comedians will play clubs, and they'll play clubs in preparation for their Netflix special in 3 months, trying to get the material honed, right? And so their thing is I don't want someone filming me at a club and then putting that joke or those jokes out there and burning it, essentially, because I need to have it for my Netflix special coming up in 3 months.
That makes sense if you view it that way, if you have a Netflix special, because then at the end of the day, it's all about ticket sales and the Netflix special will help you get more people in the clubs than a Joe Schmo on his Instagram or right. Whatever. I just am so like when musicians do that, it annoys me even more. I can understand it when comedians do it, but Bruno Mars, he has a residency in Las Vegas and you have to check in your damn phone. I'm not seeing him in Vegas. I can be selective. I will die on this stupid sword.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think you die on a hill and fall on a sword, but either way.
That's what, you know what I'm Cuban. That's my excuse.
I know this is a third language for you, but the point is, yes, I agree with you. I don't care. I've never done it. I've definitely played some clubs and theaters where the other act or some other act who comes in before after me does do it. And I think some clubs, as I recall, I have a kind of vague recollection of playing a club outside of Denver, and they just did it as a matter of protocol. It so not to defend comedians, because I just call them all pussies, but sometimes it's just a protocol of the club. Then the comedian doesn't really have anything to do with it.
Yeah. How often are you on the road these days?
Well, you can go to adamcarolla.com and find out if you're listening, but I usually go out 1.5 to 2 times a month is usually. Sometimes it gets a little busier and you go out every week and weekend, and then sometimes it's a few weeks goes by, but it's usually X amount of dates a year. Pretty consistent.
All right. And then you're back in LA. You live in LA, but I don't, when I think of you, I don't think like, oh, you're like an LA type, even though you're from here originally. Have you ever thought about living somewhere else?
Yeah, I think about it all the time now.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. LA types aren't from LA. It's people who come to LA and reinvent themselves and become LA types.
Yeah.
The people who are from LA are not LA types.
What other areas are you drawn to and for what reason?
You know, LA's got, you know, high taxes and a lot of regulation and stuff like that. I'm a person who likes building. So anytime you want to build, there's a lot of regulation. It's just, it's always been a, it's just really difficult to do anything in LA if you want to
build. Well, and there's not that much land. You have to, like,
right.
Go way out into the suburbs.
Yeah. There's always a lot of reasons to leave if you like building, but it's just overregulated, overtaxed. And then I guess when the COVID thing kicked in, they were so strenuously locked down that I just didn't like that attitude either. So I think COVID has kind of pushed me over the edge.
Oh, so you might be making a move. You heard it here.
I got twins. They're in the 10th grade. And so I got to wait till they graduate. But as I'm fond of saying, I will be attending their graduation in a U-Haul truck.
You're a big car guy. You've done a lot of stuff with cars in the past. I am not a big car guy. Where did your whole car love affair begin, or why? What prompted that?
I was always into it. I liked mechanical things when I was young. My dad and my family were not into it at all. And my dad's almost kind of an anti-car guy. Like, nobody is, you know, if Jay Leno is the most interested in cars, then Jim Carolla is the least interested in cars. Like, we all land somewhere between Jay Leno and Jim Carolla.
You
like cars a lot more than my dad does.
What did your dad do when you were growing up for work?
He was like a school teacher, kind of on and off, and then he became a school teacher, but he got a title of a director of education at a place called 5 Acres, which is essentially an orphanage in Altadena.
So he cared about education, not really cars. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
You can care about both, but I didn't, and he didn't either, the other direction. So he didn't care about cars. I like mechanical stuff, always into the mechanics of it. And I was never able to indulge myself because I didn't have any money, and my parents didn't have any money, and nobody had any money. And it just, like, you know, I had to drive a truck. I worked construction. So when I got out of construction, I got into show business. I made a little bit of money. Then I started to indulge myself with cars.
What's the fanciest car you have now?
Fancy is the word you use?
I don't know. Or what's the most expensive?
I have a Paul Newman Porsche 935 that he Ooh. Ran at Le Mans. That's probably the jewel in the crown.
So you like antique cars or vintage cars, older ones, and then mm-hmm. you repair them yourself or fix them up or custom or make them how you like them.
Yeah, ostensibly.
I went to the car show, actually. I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily I'm not a car guy, but I would be much more a car guy. Like, if you look at fashion, you could have like H&M. Like, I like fashion, but I like fashion to be inexpensive. I wish cars could be inexpensive too. I went to the car show and I saw this one car that spoke to me. Like, literally, it was saying, buy me. It was the Jeep Grand Wagoneer. They brought mm-hmm. it back. Have you mm-hmm. seen that one?
Yeah, it's giant, right?
Yeah, but it's so pretty. It looks like a Mercedes or like a really fancy, like, wow, just, it was.
I think Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy, pulled up in my podcast, and I think he drove up in that thing a week or two ago.
Oh, well, yeah. He and I, he's making money. He's doing pretty well for himself. So good on him. You mentioned your kids. They're in 10th grade. Last year, you know, news was out there that you're getting divorced and that must suck, but probably not as much as dating. Are you dating?
Yeah, I'm trying.
What does that look like for Adam Carolla?
You know, I didn't have any experience in that world because I wasn't much good at it when I was single. And then I was off the market for like 20 years or more. And I don't know all the doohickeys and gizmos on everyone's phone now that everyone.
So you're not using any of the apps?
No, I couldn't order Grubhub off my phone. I barely was able to Waze. which is the greatest breakthrough of my life, by the way, is Waze.
I don't like Waze. They make me do too many lefts without the light.
You don't do Waze.
I don't like doing a left turn if there's no light there. It's Los Angeles. It's dangerous.
Wow. You and I are much different in the car operating mode.
Google Maps is just like Waze. They you know, ping everybody using it and they'll still tell you the fastest way to get somewhere. So I use Google Maps.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, as long as you use something, but no, I'm not technologically advanced at all. I'm a very mechanical person.
If you are you dating any one person now?
Yes, I am dating one person now.
Oh, well, then you don't have to. Well, then how long has that been going on for?
God, it's been a while. It's been a number of months.
And how did that come to be?
I think just in a, like an organic way, just
did you slide into her DMs or in the real world?
No, in the real world, I don't know how to do any DMs or any dating apps or any electronic anythings. I can't do any of that.
Wow.
Normal now, I guess.
I know. It gives me hope because that's kind of what I want as well, to meet somebody in the real world. And it hasn't quite happened yet, but hopefully it will.
I think it will. You're looking very fit, slender.
I got back in the gym last month and I'm feeling good. You know, I had no idea you did construction at the very beginning, out of high school. Like as an adult, you were doing construction. That's hardcore. How long did you do that for?
Well, professionally, like I did it for a living. I would say 12 years.
That's a long time. Wow.
It's good. I mean, I didn't make a lot of money, but I learned a trade. You know, I have a trade.
So whenever something breaks around your house, you fix everything.
Except for the hearts, Perez.
I wish I had that skill. Are you even good at plumbing? Can you do plumbing stuff?
I could sweat some pipes if I needed to, some copper, whatever. Yeah, I can do whatever around the house. I mean, we'd make a hell of a couple, I got to tell you. But I can do anything. I can build cabinets. I could do a floor. I could frame a house. I can do everything.
Electrical stuff too, like the electricity?
You know, the thing about...
I don't even know how to set up Wi-Fi. That's like,
well, I can't do that. I can't do that either. But the plumbing and the electrical, they're not something I did for a living. I did carpentry, finished carpentry, cabinet making, custom closets. Like I built houses.
Ooh, custom closet. Oh. I love a good closet. I fantasize about closets. I care about, you see that. Oh my God. I care more about a great closet than a great car because I spend way more time in my house, you know?
Yeah, listen, I could do you a custom closet and make your head spin, but the electrical and the plumbing I can do, but it's not really something that I did do. I'm not an expert at it.
Do you have a company that's a construction company now that you own?
No, I did projects for myself the second I got into show business. So I've never stopped building, but what I started building is I built the studio I'm in. I built the offices that are in here. I built stuff at my house. You know, like I built stuff for myself or for my business or that kind of thing.
Did you ever like flip homes like Courtney Cox or Ellen DeGeneres loves doing, like buying something, redoing it, and selling it for a profit?
I wasn't a flipper per se, but I did refurbish a lot of houses and then live in those houses and then at some point sell the house, but it wasn't a flip.
So it wasn't like a strategic financial plan and anything like that?
No, I would find old houses that I liked that I thought like had great bones, and I'd try to put them back to something that was beautiful and then live in them.
I do love homes. I love celebrity. Oh my gosh. If you're, do you like celebrity or do you like architects? You like, I mean, you're building. So watch on Architectural Digest, Gwyneth Paltrow's new home. It's fascinating. It must have cost her tens of millions of dollars to do. She even has a Turkish bath spa in her own house. I'm like, that's diva next level. And I was like, I was in awe. So you've been doing what you do now for decades. What would you say for you is the thing you're proudest of professionally?
I don't think that way. I do end up, like I said, thinking about cars. And I do have a professional car race coming up. And
with it, you're racing in?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm very focused and interested in that. So that really has
how
my
long
attention.
Have you been doing that for, racing?
Oh, I've been racing for 15 years, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Something like that, but not professionally. Only once. This will only be my second professional race.
Is it you and other celebrities, or is it like you and regular racers?
It's just a professional race. There shall be no celebrities.
All right. So how do you prepare for that? Do you have like a coach, or you just like your own coach?
Well, what people would do, I would think, or what I would do is you have to kind of learn the track. What track is it? Where are you going for this race? What is this track? Because the tracks are all different, you know? And then the next thing you would do is you'd probably go online and try to watch some video of some in-car footage of guys on that track, hopefully in the kind of cars that you would be racing on that track. And then you would try to figure out where the racing line was, where they were going on the track, where they were braking, like what kind of speeds were they hitting. You know, you would try to figure out the racing line of the track. And then once you figure that one out, or you thought you figured it out, then you just show up and you kind of go for it.
But you don't, there's not like facilities that you can pay to go practice at?
You could go to a place that had like a real big time celebrity, not celebrity, big time professional simulator. And you could try to simulate you in that car. But I know the track. I know this particular track well enough. And I've driven this car once before, so I'm just going to kind of wing it.
I love it. You have so many interests. I feel really boring in comparison. Your kids must have grown up exposed to a lot of different things. They're in 10th grade now. I'm sure you've probably had conversations about college. It's right around the corner, and the future. Have either of them expressed any interest in anything that they want to do professionally when they're older?
My son, who I will be taking to the race and who I've taken to quite a few races, he's not really that into cars, but he just kind of likes the road trip aspect of it. And it's a good hang for him, you know. He's not a very good student. He's not really much interested in school, not interested in college, and good for him. So he has no potential for college. And my daughter is kind of a decent student, but misses a few too many days, and she, you know, one day she wants to be an attorney, the next day she wants to be a realtor. You know, you never know. And I'm like agnostic about the whole thing. Just, you know, get good at something, work hard. By the way, I'm basically done with college. I have no idea what people are going to college for now. I
sort of agree. I think it's a big scam.
It is. I heard a study today that like only 25% of college graduates are doing or working in the field that they studied in. And like 75% of them are making less than 30 grand a year out of college, you know. Meanwhile, you rack up a $200,000 debt, you know, it just, and it's just they're being indoctrinated into this crazy place where everyone's freaking out about everything, you know, microaggressions and shit like that, or they're just hanging back and getting drunk. Like, I really don't see, well, I've hired tons of people. I've never asked what college they went to. I never cared. They could either do the work or they couldn't do the work.
Have either of your kids expressed any interest in showbiz?
Not real. I mean, my son, I think he likes sports and sports commentary and, you know, podcasting and stuff like that. And, you know, he might be able to join some sports podcast network and do something of that nature, you know.
Well, speaking of podcasts, what year did you start yours?
09, I think it was 09. Yeah.
Wow. That's a long time now, you know, more than a decade. How do you keep growing an audience or retaining your audience in podcasting? I'm asking for tips.
You know, I really don't know. I would say just show up every day and sort of go to work. You know, I was always philosophical about it. I was never really, how do you do this or how do you do that? It's a job. Get up, do it, show up, prepare, you know, do your best, you know, don't mail it in and then just do it again the next day.
And you have many podcasts. You have the Adam Carolla Show. You have a podcast you do with Dr. Drew as well. Are there any other ones that you do?
I do a home improvement one called Ace on the House. I do an automotive based one, CarCast. I do one with Mark Garagos called Reasonable Doubt. And
What's that one about? It's about the law.
And
like you're analyzing specific cases?
Yeah, oftentimes. Mm-hmm.
Mark Garagos is a famous lawyer.
Yes. And I do a motivational one called Take a Knee.
Wow. God, you're busy. And you have a liquor company too, I read.
Yeah. Corolla Drinks. We have
many different kinds of drinks.
We started with something that would be near and dear to your heart called Mangria, which is a high octane sangria.
What makes it high octane? Does it have caffeine in it?
No, it's got booze in it.
I mean, sangria does have booze.
This has more booze.
Well, I like that. Yeah. Mangria, that's funny. Where can people get? You have a website for the
Corolla? You can go to CorollaDrinks.com is where you go.
I love it. Well, I've got to be busier to keep up with you. You're very busy, so I appreciate your time. Thank you for spending some time with us, and I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Perez.
Thank you. All right, everybody. That is that. Remember, if you could listen to us within the first 24 hours at PerezPodcast.com. Our number, as we said earlier, to call is 800-721-1185. Thank you. Appreciate you. Check out our sponsors. It would help. Have a great week.
Take care. All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
Hey everyone, you might remember me from Teen Mom 2, but my 15 minutes is almost up. So I'm back with another podcast. I'm your barely famous host, Kale Lowry, and I'm catching up with people from my past, putting my exes on the hot seat, and chatting with TikTokers, influencers, and other reality stars. Get weird with me every Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, or wherever you get your podcasts.